sunshine, little Glover, glimmer, glimmer, leave.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm Jill Spears, your host, and I'm here with my favorite gardener. It's Lance Swagger. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you tonight?
Staying dry.
It's wet out there.
Yes.
It's exciting. And we've got our special guest, return guest. It's Sarah Smith from the Delta County Libraries.
Hello, everyone.
Good to have you here, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back. Talking about seeds again. It's January, and it's seed month as the worm turns. Yeah, it's wet out there. It's pretty exciting. I mean, if it was any colder, it would be dumping buckets of snow right now.
Yeah.
But it's raining here in the North Fork.
We'll take it.
We will. It's a nice soaker. All right, so Sarah is here to talk about the seed libraries as part of Delta County Libraries. And it's a call-in show, so you can call in and ask her questions and talk about seeds. 970-527-4868, 866-KVNF now. And this is the sixth year of the Hotchkiss, or the Delta County Seed Libraries,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's hard to believe, but
it's exciting.
March 1st of 2014 was the first year that we had seeds available in Delta County Libraries for checkout, and here we are, 2020.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome, and thanks everybody for participating, because that's really what...
That's the important thing. I mean, we are dependent on donations for the seeds that we get. And really, the reason that we're still going is because people keep checking out seeds.
There you go. And you started this whole seed library concept because, what did you want to?
Oh, good question. Well, we actually had a library patron that came into the library and showed us a news article from a library back east who had started this. And I, from my knowledge, it was one of the first ones. Hmm. And they came to the library and said, can we do this here?
Oh, nice.
And so we started to do some research, and we actually, back in 2013, there were a couple different organizations that got together and were offering some community grants, Western Colorado Community Foundation and part of North Fork Vision 2020. And so we put in a proposal to get a little bit of help to get the seed library off the ground, and we actually won the audience award,
wow.
Community award.
Oh, awesome.
They gave us the first steps to make it happen, and it's grown from there. We've had lots of wonderful support. Alpine Bank helped us as well, and we've also had numerous seed companies who have donated seeds to us, and all the amazing, wonderful local gardeners,
right,
who've brought seeds in to share.
What a great backstory.
Uh-huh.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. And so going on for 6 years now, and a lot of growth in your program.
Yeah, actually, I brought some numbers. I wrote them down. But so in 2014, our first year, first season, the seeds, we started out kind of as an experiment, and we only had them available at the Hotchkiss Library just to see how it would, how it would work. And that year, we checked out 1,195 seed packets.
Wow.
Which was pretty awesome.
First year.
We have grown quite a bit since then, and now we have seeds available at all five libraries.
Wow, that's awesome.
We catalog our seeds, so there you can actually see them in our online catalog. Patrons can log in and search basil and see all the different varieties of basil seeds that are available and place a hold and, you know, have that sent to the library closest to them and check them out with their library card. And in 2019, this was pretty exciting, we checked out 3,015 seeds.
Oh, my word.
So,
congratulations.
Almost triple in three years.
Right?
For 6 years.
Wow.
6 years. That's good.
So
that
was exciting.
Is fabulous. Congratulations on that. That's good. The momentum that we've been talking about, that seed saving in general is.
Yeah, good work, Delta County Seed Savers.
Right?
Yeah.
That is so exciting. And your mission here with the seed libraries is?
We are here really to inspire seed savers, and we are here to encourage people and provide the resources to learn and experiment and to try seed saving themselves. And, you know, there's been so much seed-saving knowledge that has been lost in the last 100 years.
Right.
And so really trying to re-inspire gardeners and farmers and mm-hmm. people alike to try and, you know, regain some of this knowledge that we've lost and provide.
Yeah, exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, and, you know, you don't really need books. I've never read a book. Just recently have I gotten books. It was just, oh, let's try this
mm-hmm.
and let's try that. So it's really, for me personally, I've done it hands-on.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so
exactly.
It's...
I am a librarian, so I have to say that I like books.
And okay, right.
I did,
that's a natural.
I did bring some with me. I know Lance
yeah.
has talked about some mm-hmm. different seed-saving books on the last couple of shows, and I just wanted to let, you know, a lot of our library patrons out there know that many of those books are available for checkout
right.
in the libraries.
Yeah, and you have a couple different ones there. It's always nice, I think, mm-hmm. to have a reference, especially
yeah.
a good one with pictures
yeah.
and things
yeah.
like that.
Well,
so.
Some people are really good that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's all,
and I use them now.
Right. You've got your yeah. go-to.
So whether you're hands-on or you're bookish, you can check out some books from your library. We have... I just brought in a couple. There's quite a few out there, but The Organic Seed Grower by John Navazio. We have Seed to Seed, which I think is often kind of the go-to by mm-hmm. Suzanne Ashworth. And then I brought some just fun ones. We have this really cool book that's huge. It's called The Book of Seeds, The Life-Size Guide to 600 Species from Around the World.
Oh,
you
I
just
like
want
that.
To look at awesome pictures of seeds
I was,
and just
yeah.
really, really, you know, go out there.
Good one to just spend yeah. the night sitting on the couch looking
exactly.
for that one.
Especially uh-huh. this time of year, right?
Right. Yes. Perfect.
And then I brought another one that's Seeds on Ice, which is all about Svalbard and the global seed vault up in
right.
Norway.
And so you're not a seed bank, you're a seed library.
Mm-hmm. So like Svalbard, for example, is a seed bank, and their goal is to preserve seeds and mm-hmm. and to store this genetic diversity for indefinitely. And with a seed library, our goal is really to get the seeds into the hands of the people mm-hmm. and encourage people to grow and experiment. And, you know, our goal is I hope every seed packet checks out every year.
Right.
And I hope that, you know, everyone that checked out seeds, whether or not they saved seed and brought them back, learned something, and then maybe next year we'll save seeds from their garden and donate mm-hmm. them to the seed library to share.
Right. And so the checkout process, when you say that, is really you're taking home a packet of seeds to plant in your garden.
Exactly.
And you're hoping that people will participate by bringing back seeds.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You there's no late fines. You don't have to return the seeds. It's just a library term. We're not the library police. Aren't going to come with a big late fee. But the goal is that you'll check those seeds out. You'll plant them. And if you're successful, maybe you'll save seeds from them. Mm-hmm. If those particular plants don't make seeds, maybe you have something else in your garden that you can save seed from and donate back to the seed library.
Right. Right, and it's exciting. Yeah.
I've been reading or just leafing through this one book that I have, The Seed Garden, and it's to get viable seed, most plants just say 5 plants.
You know, that's not too many plants.
No,
I mean, that's
some are just one.
Right?
Some are just one plant, but most of them are saying 5 plants.
Yeah.
The more the better,
uh-huh.
but it's 5 plants is not much space.
Exactly, and that's the space factor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that's really encouraging, especially to beginning seed savers, because
yeah.
sometimes mm-hmm. you see those numbers of I need 100 corn plants to
right.
to have viable seed. But I think really kind of getting into this mindset of experimenting and trying,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's Carol Duppy's quote. It's like, what's the worst that could happen? You eat it? Maybe you compost it?
Right.
Yeah.
And just encouraging people that, you know, maybe try something. I think it was, you mentioned it last week, Lance, that amaranth only needed one plant. Viable seed.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
I mean, that's doable for
mm-hmm.
a backyard yeah. gardener.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. And you'll find your favorites. I mean, that's how you got going
yeah.
and what worked for you and what didn't
yeah.
work.
Amaranth, lettuce. And what happens mm-hmm. is if you let that one plant grow, you'll, the volunteers, you know, come up and you find out which lettuce does really well because it's the one that volunteered.
Right.
You know, cilantro, spinach. You know, I don't see much carrots volunteering just because they don't like the real early cold.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But they've acclimated well for
mm-hmm.
it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I drove my husband crazy last summer. I let every possible green that came up in the spring from the previous year go to seed, and our garden looked like this giant wall of weeds, and I was so tired of it by the end of the season. But I saved all those seeds.
Oh, good for you.
And my attitude is, you know, if I can encourage lettuce and spinach and carrots to be weeds in my garden.
There you go.
I mean, yeah. It sure beats weeding out thistle and bindweed any day.
Be free and seed.
Yeah.
Good. All right, so you're listening to As the Worm Turns, and we have Sarah Smith here from Delta County Libraries, and she runs the seed library operation for all five of those libraries now participating in the program.
Well, and one thing I wanted to mention, I know that our listening area you know, covers wider than Delta County. I know we have some people down in Montrose and Ridgeway and Lake City and probably even further, but I just wanted to mention that we have 17 seed libraries that I could find in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
And I do see here that the Ridgeway has a seed lending library. I don't believe that it's located in the public library there, but they do have a Facebook page. So if there's any listeners down in Ridgeway or Uray, who are interested in seed saving or even Montrose.
Perfect.
Go on Facebook and see if you can get in touch with the Ridgeway Seed Library as well.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks for sharing that, because we know we have a lot of people down there gardening and saving seeds. And Laura from
High Desert Seeds
down in Montrose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, give us a call, 970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF. Now you can email worm@kvnf.org. And this week, Sarah, you kick off your seed-saving parties. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So every year with the Seed Library, we host a what we call a seed sorting party. And what we do with these parties is we package all of the seeds that have been donated to us. So we have patrons that come in with bags of seeds that they saved, and for us to get those into as many hands as possible, we need to put those in envelopes and label those envelopes so people know what they're, you know, what they're putting in the garden. And this is really the time that we do that. And we are so grateful for the many volunteers that come to support us, because we could not do it without them. 3,015 seed packets is a lot of packets to seal. So we need your help getting those ready for checkout. And we have an event coming up this Thursday at the Cedar Edge Library. That's going to be from 4 to 6. We always have food. I feed the volunteers. And the other great thing is that anybody that comes to volunteer at these events gets to come home with seeds. You get a, you know, a first taste of the seeds that are available.
Nice.
Great. And then next week on Wednesday, the 29th, from 4 to 6, we will also have a seed sorting party at the Hotchkiss Library. So we're trying to kind of have one in the North Fork area and one over on the western side of the county, and get as many seed savers as we can to help package some seeds.
Yeah, big, big, big project there. If you've ever gone online on the library page and looked at all of the seeds available, you see how big this whole thing is.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you've got all these. Go ahead, Lance.
Oh, I was just going to. You had for donations, you had a form.
We do. So I know there was a question last week about, you know, the purity and quality of seed.
Right.
I think from wind, and I wanted to speak to that. So because all of the seeds we get are donated, there is definitely, you know, that we get a mix of the quality that we're going to get. We're going to have beginners. We're going to have, you know, advanced seed savers.
Sure.
But what we do is we ask all of our local patrons that donate seed to fill out a form, and that becomes the label on the packet.
Okay.
And we ask questions to kind of get a feel for how the steps that people took to, you know, preserve the quality.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask, you know, did you take any steps to avoid cross-pollination? What's your level of seed-saving experience? Do you have any notes or stories to share? Those kinds of questions. And then we also have a, you know, a quality check to make sure that we're not getting, like, noxious weeds or mold or pests, things like that. And we also you know, if we come in, if something comes in and it's just totally obscure, we're going to filter that through. Like somebody mm-hmm. brought me a little bag with a beautiful pressed flower taped to it that said white flower. But I couldn't, you know, poison hemlock has a white flower. Yeah. And I just wasn't enough information for us to be yeah. able to catalog it. So we do uh-huh. kind of do a quality check. And then we do also get donated seed from seed companies. And these seeds are going to be last year's seeds. So legally, those companies cannot sell 2019 seeds.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But they can donate them to the seed library. Mm-hmm. They get a tax write-off, which is great for them and also great for the seed library because sure. it provides, you know, varieties that we might not get donated by local growers. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so some of those are a good option if people are worried. You know, I think of if we have a production farmer, they might be a little hesitant to come in to get seeds from the seed library because they have a bottom line of how, you know, a germination rate and mm-hmm. how what they need to grow. But if you are interested in experimenting, I would really encourage you to come check out the seed library. And the other thing is we get some really wonderful seeds, too. I mean, Lance here grows some beautiful sure. seeds, and he's uh-huh. donated to the seed library. Mm-hmm. And we see some really wonderful local varieties yeah. that
right.
You might not find elsewhere.
Probably gets better and better. I mean, you're just growing it and growing it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and
it gets more acclimated mm-hmm. to Delta County.
Right. Right.
Which,
I love that.
Yeah. As the weather changes and things get hot or wet, I mean, it's raining in January. So right. It's nice to have seats that are used to your climate.
Yep, exactly. And these events are kind of your deadline for getting seeds in for the catalog this
yes.
year. Is that correct?
So at the library, we've got a limited number of hours in the day. And so we don't have, you know, we don't catalog seeds year round. So these seed sorting events that are happening this Thursday in Cedar Edge and next Wednesday in Hotchkiss are kind of our deadline for patrons to bring in their seeds that will be then cataloged for this season, 2020. So all the seeds that come in at these events will get packed. Then they go to our cataloging team and they will be cataloged during February. And then on March 1st, they'll be available for checkout at wow. all the Delta County libraries. So if you miss the deadline, don't worry. We accept seed donations year-round, but anything that comes in after our packaging event, we will save and set aside for the following year.
Okay.
So it,
sure.
will,
makes
it
sense.
Will go to the seed library. We just we don't have enough staff and enough hours in the yeah. day to catalog year-round.
Yeah, that's a big, big project.
So if you have seeds, bring them in.
Uh-huh.
Now's the time.
Sounds like a lot of fun, too, to sit around and share stories with everybody, because mm-hmm. I think there's probably some great stories attached
I think that's
to these seeds.
The best part of seeds. I mean, as soon as you get us seed people talking, we all have our seed stories.
Right.
Yes.
I think there was a wheat story, white wheat story, maybe. To check my notes.
Oh, we talked yeah. about the Sonoran white wheat.
Oh. Uh-huh.
What it was actually used for. What it was brought by the Spaniards in the 1750s or earlier they brought it in.
Might have been earlier.
But I think it was you mentioning that they were used to make the wafers.
The communion wafer.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
I think they were mm-hmm. the Franciscan monks that came and they, you know, mm-hmm. came to Arizona. And, I mean, that was Dominguez and Escalante that came up through this area exploring
right.
in mm-hmm. 1776. But they grew this Sonoran white wheat is kind yeah. of what we call it now. And it grows really well in those Sonoran desert
uh-huh.
climates. And they grew it because if you're going to start a Catholic mission, you have to have a communion wafer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And who knows what it was called in Europe or in Spain. I don't know what it was. That's what
we adopted that name for it.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was interesting when we had our grain seed class last summer and Bill McDormand came up. You remember
yeah.
him coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his Sonoran white wheat and I had mine from the year before. Totally different plants.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
It's like I stood and held both of them up. I said, these are both Sonoran white wheat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
and mine
cool.
was productive, but the seed head was half the size of his lengthwise.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's like.
And
know.
His came from where? Where?
He's is he Cornville? Arizona.
Arizona, okay.
And his was harvested. When he brought it up then, that was this year's crop. You know, because they start so much earlier than us.
Sure, different.
Well, and I think what's so neat about that is you look at this, you know, maybe they came from the same seed recently, and you look at how those plants adapted themselves to their environment.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah,
and they they talk about the Sonoran white wheat, and it will get 5 or 6 feet tall. Mine never is more than 2 feet. Never. What it's doing here.
Uh-huh. Right. Here, that's what it's doing. Mm-hmm. Right. Hey, it is Michael from Ridgeway on the line. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening.
How are you?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm doing great. How's y'all's night going?
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, we're talking about seed saving, and a question that I have is I used to have more land that I could plant, and I was seed saving a lot more during those days, and now I have seeds that are starting to be years old, without, you know, proper grounds to sow them again. And a little guerrilla gardening here and there, but, you know, like wildflowers and such. But I'm just wondering about the shelf life of seeds of, say, like calendulas and, say, comfreys and, like, columbines, just, you know, like random edibles and things. Like, is there a termination of, like, if they get, like, 3-4 years old, are they kind of done, or can you still plant them and maybe get like one of three, or like how that's working?
Well, what I see most of the time is they're saying 4 to 7 years for seeds in general. I have seeds that are 17 and 18 years old and still 100% germination.
Wow. 17, 18 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And stuff. So yeah, they're probably okay. And depending on how you stored them, which is cool, dry, and dark.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so I do have that. And there are some, like, just strictly edibles, like carrot seeds and things that I've harvested off of my plants and things that have set in jars in dark places.
Okay.
And, you know,
those flowers.
Think they're still worth going?
Oh, yeah. What you can do with all of those flowers you mentioned and those carrots is lots of them want to be cold stratified. In other words, you freeze them. And you might have to freeze them for a couple of weeks or more. Especially, you do this more on old seeds than new seeds. And that lettuce does really good. Carrots, spinach, dill, cilantro, parsley. They do really good.
Most of your urban ones, you're saying?
Yeah, you would not do that with basil or corn. Or squash, they would want soaking more than that. But yeah, just those kind of seeds, yeah. And just try some. You can also, how do you test the germination?
You could do a germination test depending on how many seeds you have. If you take a wet paper towel and you can lay out a grid of, you know, that you could do a 10 by 10 seeds. And then you let it sit for a couple weeks, and then you check the germination. And, you know, based on that, you have, if you have 80 of 100, you've got 80% germination.
So the percentage of germination on test sample of the napkins. Whatever.
Yeah, and this is the time to test that germination.
This time of year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll speak to, you know, if you store your seeds well, they, you know, that germination rate will stay higher. I have... Lance gave me some beet seed from it was harvested in 1990, and I tested it, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, and it germinated better than any of the store-bought seeds I had.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
From 1990. Like,
from 1990 was when they were harvested.
30 years somewhat later.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And then I think part of that is homegrown seed is not beat up by machines.
Sure.
And they're not cracked or the skin's broken or roughed up or whatever like
that. Well, they're not exposed to, you know, the heat or the different temperatures that you might see from transportation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and all the seeds that I have were, like, locally grown. I mean, like, they're kind of acclimated to this area that I've saved. And I'm in Ridgeway, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say if you're worried too, you could always plant heavy. I've done that where I've had older seed that I just didn't know how it was going to do, and I, you know, I put in double or triple the seed that I would normally put and, you know, and planted it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just sort of experiment.
Like my dad taught me, like you plant three.
Yeah.
Three seeds for anything. One for you, one for the birds, and one for the earth.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
I germinated, tested some brown tepperies that were in Ampetu's collection.
Mm-hmm.
And I got about 60% germination. So I'm going to plant those thicker. I'm going to double the amount to get a good crop out of them.
So part of it's just trying it.
Just go for it. And
right.
Okay. But so like if I've had a couple that have been sitting in, you know, like dry storage for a couple of years, it's not a lost art. Don't just scrap them.
No.
Plant them and see what happens.
Yep, plant them and see what happens.
Don't be afraid to try.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate y'all's input. And y'all have a wonderful evening.
You too, Michael. Have fun.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and you know, Sarah, that's what you're so good at is inspiring, because you do yourself experiment and you know, try different things. You used to be seed saving on beans. You've moved on to squash.
I think I'm kind of one of those lazy gardeners that I just do the best with what I've got. We used to grow about 12 to 15 varieties of beans that we would sell for as dry beans. But we started to notice some pests, and we realized that we needed to take a break from beans.
Mm-hmm.
So we've taken about a 3-year break from beans. And this, my most exciting seed story from last garden season was some squash that we planted. I had heard from, I believe it was one of our master gardeners in the area, that to avoid squash bugs, if you wait until the 4th of July to plant your squash from seed, that you'll skip all those hatchings. And I was a little hesitant, but I waited until June 30th, and I planted a bunch of different squash seeds, and I had two varieties that came up. I had what I wasn't sure, but I'm pretty sure now, is the porcelain pink, and then I also had a big, I think it was like a Big Max pumpkin, and both of those fruited and set seed, and I had zero squash bugs.
No kidding.
So I'm going to save those seeds. And I'm going to wait till the end of June to plant
those. Yeah, they're used to being planted that late. It's like my pintos that I plant in July after the garlic. That's not when you normally plant beans.
But they are used to it. Is that the acclimation thing?
Yeah,
they
got used to it. And there we are.
I like it. Porcelain pink squash. That sounds...
They're delicious. I had never grown them before, but we had Frank Stoniker with the CSU Research Station had donated some seeds to the seed library, and I checked those out and took them home, and
good.
Nice.
They're delicious. They taste good. They
are they still there? Are you still store? Are they?
They're still storing well. You know, because they were planted so late, they didn't get that like dusty pink that I think that you see at some of the farmers markets.
Right.
But the flavor was good, so they were ripe, and I'm saving those seeds. So
good.
I'm hoping that that'll be fine this year.
Yeah, that is fun. I like it, Sarah. Thanks for being here and inspiring us again to just get out there and do it.
Yeah. Can I say one thing?
Of course.
Well, we usually cover last week's topics at the beginning, but anyways, I had Sarah here. And I just had a comment. I forgot a couple things. We had that caller about the hybrids. One of the things that
were hybrid phobic.
This is in the United States. I don't know about the rest of the world, but in the United States, we hybrid plants for production and for beauty. Mm-hmm. But you lose two other things when you're doing that. You lose nutrition and flavor when you're doing that. And Sarah, you had a comment on the hybrids.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, hybrids oftentimes will have their place, especially, you know, if you're a production farmer, that you can count on that. But hybrids are actually illegal to save seed from. So when we talk about seed saving, we're really – we are kind of hybrid phobic because we legally can't save those seeds.
Okay.
And, you know, also when we think of seed saving, I think we kind of think of seed sovereignty and this, you know, the ability to save your own seed. And so, you know, hybrids take that away from us. And I think that's, you know, kind of when we're talking about seed saving, why hybrids are you want to stay away.
Right. And it's just getting back to that older knowledge and the older biodiversity and everything.
Well, not only have we lost the knowledge of seed saving, but with hybrids, we've lost the legal rights to do that.
Right.
So that's a whole other conversation. But but that's why we stay away from hybrids when it comes to seed saving.
Okay. Well, thank
Great.
You.
Great. Thanks.
I appreciate that. All right, Sarah. Well, good luck. Events coming up this week with your seed saving parties or your seed library.
Absolutely. Thursday in Cedar Ridge and next Wednesday in Hotchkiss. And I sure hope that we'll see some excited seed savers out there to come help us get ready for
you'll
the
have fun.
Season.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good. All right. We'll be back next week, Lance.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Again, thank you, Sarah, from Delta County Libraries. And it's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Yeah. Good night. Have a good evening.
You've got a cute fast pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.